2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Today, let me speak to the governor. Governor Gary Herbert spends 1 hour answering your questions. Call 801-575-8255. Live from the studios of KSL News Radio in Salt Lake City, it's Let Me Speak to the Governor.
And good afternoon. I'm Maria Chalaos, along with Governor Herbert today. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, the number to call, be part of the program, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. And Governor, we're at a week where we've had a lot of breaking news. Congressman Chaffetz announcing he's not going to run for re-election. And first of all, give us your reaction to that.
Well, thank you, Maria. It's always great to be with you today. And looking forward to the questions from our listeners. I think all of us were caught a little bit by surprise. Congressman Chaffetz has done a great job for the past near 10 years and certainly been, I think, put into leadership capabilities. Speaker Ryan seems to like him. So he's in a position of doing really good and working his kind of way up the ladder, which is kind of how it works in Congress. And so I think we all thought he was positioned very well. So the surprise is that he's announcing he's not going to run for re-election. And I guess the additional surprise is that he may leave early.
Right. We were hearing that this morning.
So whether that's all rumor or not, I guess we'll have to wait and see what actually happens. And I think we're all a little bit surprised about the announcement.
So do you have any inkling as to what he plans to do, where he goes from here? You've got to have some backroom information for us.
I wished I did. I was with him at lunch at a function with the congressional delegation here. I think it was Monday. And we had an opportunity to chit-chat. And he said, by the way, I want to talk to you. I got something to discuss with you. And I said, okay. And I thought we would do it after that lunch was over, but it ran a little long, and so we didn't have that opportunity. And he said, well, I'll call you. And he says, I'll either call you or I'll call your chief of staff, Justin. And as it turned out, he did call Justin and kind of gave us a heads up that Monday night what he was going to announce on Tuesday morning on the Doug Wright Show. So we kind of had a heads up that he was going to not run for re-election. But that's really the extent of it that I know. Again, I hear rumors and speculation and all those things out there. But I have no reason other than to take him at his word that he's tired. It's time for reflection and review with his family. 1,500 nights laying on that cot has been 1,500 nights enough. And so he's thinking of maybe taking a new direction. But as we know, also, he's not ruled out any future political opportunities that may present themselves. And so he says he's going to go back into the private sector, and we'll have to wait and see. It's all kind of speculation by most all of us right now today.
Right. With Bill O'Reilly's firing yesterday, some of us did wonder,
is there a
what
connection?
Do you think? Is there a connection there?
Well, he's certainly been comfortable in front of the cameras. And so he's been on TV, he's been a political pundit on many of the shows and telling people what he sees from his congressional perch there. And I think he'd be good at that, by the way. I think he's articulate, a good-looking guy that could, I think, have important discussions on issues of the day where he's been and part of it. So who knows? Maybe he's going to be the next Bill O'Reilly.
So did you have any desire to maybe run for Congress, or who do you think the heir apparent is for this job?
Well, I mentioned to some earlier today, I said, gee, I hear all this speculation about people maybe thinking of running for his seat. I think we had a list of 21 different people, and I wasn't on it.
I just asked you.
Yeah.
You plan to run, Governor?
At least, well, I don't as of now, but, no, I'm very happy to be the governor of this great state, and we're doing good things as a state. We're just, our economic growth and expansion is remarkable, and we're just growing in very positive ways and very in every sector, in every issue. I mean, we're balancing our budgets, our AAA bond rating, our economy is the best in America. The good news here last week is a couple of weeks ago, we got a word from the U.S. News and World Report on education. They rated all the education in the states of America, and we got ranked in the top 10 overall for education and number 2 for higher education. So
always great to get good news.
It's great to get good news, and it shows the trend. It shows what we've done, and I appreciate the good work we've done these last 7-plus years with my administration, I think, to improve the trend and turn things around economically. We're doing a lot better with our education. We just had an announcement here a couple of days ago with our refineries. We've been working closely with them to bring in Tier 3 fuels. And a big announcement with Chevron saying, even though they don't have to do it, by the way, this is all voluntary, because under the Clean Air Act, they could use averaging. They would not have to bring Tier 3 fuels to Utah at all. And yet they've announced here Tuesday that they're going to bring in Tier 3 fuels. We get the complement of Tier 3 fuels and Tier 3 automobiles, which are now coming on the market. When that's fully implemented, we'll reduce 80% of the tailpipe emissions that we see out there in our gunky days today. Now, mind you, with all the pollution we have, 50% of it is really coming out of tailpipe. So this is a major, major step forward for cleaning up our air here on the Wasatch Front. And I appreciate Chevron. I appreciate Tesoro, Sinclair, and others, which I think are going to join forces here in getting this Tier 3 fuels. And that's going to be a major step in the right direction. Help us with our health issues with cleaner air, and allow us to continue to expand economically. So really a lot of great news out there. I hope it's not being overshadowed by Congressman Chaffetz's announcement.
He can't get all the attention, right? What is the process, however, Governor, and what happens now with Congressman Chaffetz's seat if he doesn't finish the term?
Well, let's assume he stays in fulfills his term as he was elected to do. Then we'll just have a regular election like we always have been used to. If he resigns, then we have to go to what we call a special election. The statute requires a special election. It doesn't give you a lot of detail on how that process should carry out. We've never done it before, so this is a kind of
new territory,
new challenge. But my reading of the law is that we'll just go through the same process in a probably more constricted time frame. That means convention, delegates, that means a primary if you need to have it, and then a general election of sorts. So come one, come all, if there's a special election, it will be a special, extraordinary election, but it should follow the same pathways we have currently on the books.
All right. Who are some of the people that you see possibly stepping up to fill this role?
Well, there's a number of names out there, and I don't want to leave anybody out and have them offended, like me, having my name thrown out there. But
anyone that's at the top of the list?
Some of our legislators, Senator Deidre Henderson would be at the top of anybody's list as a very capable, qualified, outstanding public servant who's done great things in the legislature, is from the heart of Utah County, which is kind of the heart of the district. And so she'd be a contender. Mayor John Curtis, who's been a very popular mayor in Provo, certainly would be one that would be considered, and certainly considered as one that would have an opportunity to do some good things there. So there's probably 2 or 3 legislators and past legislators that might want to be considered out there, and I think we'll explore the opportunity. And who knows? I mean, it will be a free-for-all. An open seat really does create opportunities for people, the pent-up demand that occurs on any elected office. The other thing that would happen if it's a special election is that it will be a shorter time frame, will be less costly. So more people will feel like I can get in and compete, even though I don't have as much money as, say, someone else because of the shortened time frame. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and we'll have to wait for Congressman Chaffetz to make decisions that will then tell us what we need to do as far as having a special election if needed.
All right, let's change the topic. Salt Lake Mayor Jackie Biskupski tweeting today that she has a meeting with the Outdoor Retailers Association or a meeting on the Outdoor Retailers Association, what kind of talks are you aware of to get them to stay here?
Well, I'm glad that they're weighing in. I think we need to have the mayor weigh in, and not only the Salt Lake City mayor, but also the Salt Lake County mayor. And unfortunately, they've been a little bit quiet on this issue. And certainly they have a lot to gain by having them stay here and a lot to lose if they go. I think all of us are concerned about finding the win-win. And if we don't find the win-win, it will become a lose-lose because we'll lose a great show here. And the Outdoor Retailers show will go to a lesser location. It won't be as good. I've talked with, in fact, the owner of the Emerald Exposition, who owns the show, and they've acknowledged that this Salt Lake City in Utah has been a great fit. It's convenient, a great international airport. People can come in here. We have facilities, the Salt Palace and the extended facilities. We've helped to accommodate them, our hotel room. And we have 35-plus million acres of public land, 15 million, for example, more than Colorado. That's 15 million more acres in Colorado that is easily accessible. And we've been a good fit. And the fact the show has grown by 600% since it started here 20 years ago, showing, I think, the impact we have on this great location. That being said, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
So are you or other state officials in negotiations still with the outdoor retailers?
There's been some what I would call shuttle diplomacy. People that represent kind of, can we bring them together and try to broker a deal? And so that's taking place. We've reached out to try to find the win-win. We spent an hour on the telephone only to have them kind of hang up on us at the end. They were really not seemingly too interested in finding compromise. But we hope that cooler heads will prevail. Certainly the Utah outdoor retailer folks, we have a number of them, very interested in keeping it here. And very disappointed that it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, more of a political statement as opposed to based on the reality and the facts and the business decision aspect of that. So, and that's unfortunate, but that's the right of the show to do what they think they want to do. If they want to make a political statement, then they have that right to do so. We will continue to have great opportunities for outdoor recreation in our state. We have a department we've set up, first in America, to have an outdoor recreation department to utilize as best we can the outdoor opportunities there. Our tourism and travel is up double digits the last 3 years. Our park attendance has increased by double digits. We've had great success, and we'll continue to have great success because they can't move Delicate Arch, they can't move Zion Park, they can't move the recreation areas, our 43 state parks. They're going to continue to be here. And so whatever void is created by the movement of the Outdoor Industry Association's Outdoor Retail Show will be filled by something else that we have people already saying, if they don't stay, then we want to see if we can come.